Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Firefighters Podcast. Thanks for stopping by. I'm joined on the show today by Matt Coulthard. Matt is an operational firefighter based in Gibraltar. He recently swam around the Rock of Gibraltar, which is one hell of a challenge. That's a marathon in the ocean. Not playing games here, folks. He's been in the toughest firefighter alive. He's done the Firefighter Combat Challenge. And he's done the British Firefighter Challenge, amongst many others. And he's pretty much beat the competition every single time. Now, it's not because Matt is just some fitness god. He puts this down to his mindset, his habits, his nutrition, and his workouts, which he's going to share with us today, and how we can all get fitter and healthier with just a small few alterations to our lifestyles. Really inspiring story today, guys, so listen in. We are, of course, once again, sponsored by the wonderful William Wood Watches. Head to williamwoodwatches.com to check out these incredible watches. Now, these aren't just any old things. These are made from 100% fire service equipment. This is the hoses, the helmets, the buckles, the brasses, the connections that have spent at least 10 years at operational fire stations in the UK. Go over and have a look how good these are. I'll tell you what, the Valiant collection they've got out now is absolutely stunning. So, williamwoodwatches.com, go and check it out. Are you ready to hear from Matt? I'll tell you, this is a really good one, guys. I'm not playing games. Buckle in for safety, all right? This is going to be a good one. Ready? Let's do it. Welcome to the Firefighters Podcast, first and foremost. And how went the swim?
The swim? Oh, I tell you what, it was amazing to get to the end of it. I'll tell you that. It was absolutely one of the hardest things I've ever done. And I've done a few harebrained things in my time.
I was
going to
say, a statement like that from you is a statement.
It was. It was absolutely unreal. But at the same time, there's another challenge, another tick in the box. Mm. Absolutely. Basically, what we did is a couple of friends, we all got together, still started swimming. I was started swimming a year ago because I was putting myself onto a new challenge. I was going to do an Ironman this year.
I saw that. So yeah, it was about a year ago, wasn't it? I thought your first little sort of exploring into it and your runs and your swims and your bikes and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly that. So I went down the route of doing the Ironman, and then COVID came along, kind of knocked it on the head.
Blew it, didn't it? I actually had
a devastating injury myself. Where I got diagnosed with MRI scan saying I had a prolapsed disc.
No way.
Which knocked my training completely on the head. So, Jesus. As you can imagine, people of our nature, plus our job as a firefighter, having that kind of injury is devastating.
Prolapsed disc is so debilitating. Yeah, it ruins your sleep as well. It ruins everything. And your kids as well. I mean, it must have had a big impact.
It was really, really big. It was like, devastating. It was messing, like, the like, not only physically, but the mental effect it had on me was insane. But after seeing a few osteopaths and a few therapists...
You set quite a high standard for yourself in life in general, because you were sort of saying the mental effect that it had on you there, because a lot of people push themselves physically just to get into the fire service, and you don't diminish what it takes to become a firefighter, but you're kind of like in your day-to-day life, you're always hunting that challenge. So when they gave you the all clear for swimming, how did that sort of unlock your ability to get back after it?
Well, that gave me an actual new perspective, a new release, and a way to like regroup mentally.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, I can start swimming. So I started building, like going just for a few short swims and thinking, you know what? This is the actual one place where I feel comfortable. I'm not in pain in the water. So it was just like, I just slowly but steadily started increasing the length of the swims. Because it was truly was, the minute I get out, get onto dry land, I'd be in agony.
Really?
In true pain. And what I found is, through the swimming, it helped not only sort me out mentally, make me strong-headed again, knowing I can still do something. It's not a complete be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
It's also, I was strengthening my back muscles through swimming. I was helping myself recover.
Hmm.
Through gaining more strength into my back muscles, where I'd had, like 3 months of like literally doing nothing, I was able to then start doing my rehabilitation training. So I incorporated my own strength and conditioning program.
Mm.
Obviously, very, very limited with what I could do, things like squatting definitely out, deadlifts are 100% out.
Mm.
But with a lot of research and investigation, I was able to put myself together like a strength and conditioning routine, where it was actually, okay, I'm back in the gym. I'm doing something. And just to be able to do that and rebuild my strength up gave me the confidence to say, do you know what? I'm not as bad as I think. Yeah. Man up, stop feeling sorry for yourself. And then that led into, right, what can we do now? And I got a crazy friend, and I mean crazy. He's a multiple Ironman finisher.
Beautiful.
He's a marathon established finisher. And we're both basically as much as each other. So we said, well, I suppose we're going to have to swim around the rock, aren't we? And we both looked at each other and said, why not? So it led from a couple of us talking about it to a couple of others saying, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another, and we ended up putting a full-blown charity event together. And we've had, I think, nearly 30 people join us on a Round the Rock swim.
Wow.
And to put that into perspective, what it actually is, a marathon in swimming terms is considered to be 10 kilometers.
I was going to say 10
kilometers.
Now, isn't
this
it?
Is 12 kilometers in open water in tough tides and currents and seas. It's not an easy swim.
No. There's so many things to unpack there. I want to take you back for a second, just because when you spoke about putting all the research and stuff back into getting yourself physically active, there'll be people listening to this that have seen you in firefighter competitions and seen you on social media and stuff like that, but they'll be in that position where they're like, you know what, I can't even get out of bed. You know, I'm nowhere near as fit as Matt. But to hear somebody like yourself be placed kind of in their position, it must have been a really weird time, because you've spent, you know, 90% of your adult life a very fit and active kind of guy. So what was it like trying to rediscover your body's ability and, you know, sort of success, failure for that?
Well, it pretty much comes down to the fact everyone has their own set of adversities, and everyone has a certain point of where, obviously, I've been a reasonably good athlete, done fairly well in the five-by competitions and stuff.
Absolutely.
So I had higher expectations for myself. But it comes down to the normal Joe Bloggs who's looking to starting out for the first time, who's never really trained.
Yeah.
It's still that first incentive, that get up, that go, that drive to want to start to do something.
Yeah.
So you can kind of compare it to where I got so badly injured and I was told by the doctors that you're more than likely going to need surgery. Yeah. You can't cycle, you cannot run, you can't do any weight training.
Yeah.
Literally, you can't do anything.
And that could have been it for you. And do you know what I mean? That could have been when people were talking back and saying, oh, you could be that guy sitting there going, I used to be a really fit guy, but then I had this back injury and I never did anything ever again. It's like hitting a big reset button for you, and you've had to take yourself back to step one.
Exactly that. It was literally refocusing and refusing to give in. That's where I'm an advocate for mental strength and resilience.
Absolutely, brother.
So many people get into these ideas of gyms and gimmicks and these diet fads and these programs where it comes down to you being responsible for your own actions and your own mental state.
That's
now,
right.
It's very easy to like blame someone else or...
You can be a victim. You want to be a volunteer victim. It's easy. Yeah.
Yeah, you can do exactly that. But you can choose to say, no, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to choose to keep going forward. And you will find a way to be able to do that. So I found swimming.
What was step one for you? Because people are like, oh yeah, it's fine saying that. But what was your first day back? So you'd had your back injury. They said, look, Matt, you're going to need surgery. Seriously, dude, don't mess about in the gym. Don't try and, you know, mentally push this because you're going to break something. What was day one? Because people that say, oh, I can only walk around the block, that might have been day one back for you. What was day one of training after you'd had that injury?
Wow. I literally, and there's no exaggeration, day one with me was forcing myself to get up out of the bed, because that was the most painful part of my day.
Yeah.
After having a night of no sleep, of being in agony, and then literally forcing myself up, being in so much pain that all you wanted to do was go and lay on the living room floor.
Yeah.
But it was, no, if I get up and get moving, I'll start the blood pumping and the pain will ease off. So I'd force myself every single morning to start walking. I would go for a short walk just to start loosening up. And I found by loosening up, I was able to get through the rest of the day. And I spoke to other people with similar injuries, and like, oh, I couldn't. There's too much pain. I just had to lay down. And
that's
found that actually makes things worse.
How much do you think when people think, I need to wait till I feel sort of motivated to do it? Because you were like, no, this is an excruciating pain. And hopefully after I persist for 10, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, then I'll feel in the mood for it. A lot of people wait until they feel in the mood. You know, you train every single day and you can't be in the mood for it every day, surely.
No, you can never always be in the mood. It's just those days where the only bad day of training is the day you don't train.
That's it, right.
So And you always feel elated, because the beautiful thing about training as well is the endorphins are released, the feel-good factors. So that day when you don't want to go in the gym, or you don't want to go, people confuse training as well. They think, okay, I'm never going to be an elite athlete, therefore I'm just not going to bother. Yeah. Is where if you go down, you're going to go to your local shops to get the newspaper. Some people just jump in the car to drive that mile.
Yeah.
Why? Mm. Put on your trainers, go for a walk. That mile will make you feel good. Yeah. And that is how people should start.
And it's the compound effect of all of those things, isn't it? And like you say, it's not going to be comfortable. Every day when I get up, I never want to get in that ice bath. I never want to get in it. But I know when I get out of it, man, I feel like a sheet of steel. Do you know what I mean? You just feel Olympic. But you've got to make those small decisions. People say, oh, is that one thing make the big difference, does it? No, it's those stacking all the small things. Like you say, it's that walk to the shop. It's that decision to not drive. And it's those small things. I'll take the stairs, not the elevator.
Yeah, exactly that. It's the small, and it's lifestyle changes. It's the small, small, insignificant things. But when you add them all up together, they make massive impacts on your life. And that's not just for your physical fitness. It also goes across the board to your mental health,
absolutely,
your general physical ability. Yeah. It's everything.
Callous in the mind to do those things. So you decided to take on this massive swim. And like you said, swimming in open water, for anybody that's done 10K in a pool or whatever, it is almost like it's a completely different sport, isn't it? It's not like, it's totally different to swimming in a pool.
Oh, it's absolutely completely. I'll give you a prime example of what actually happened to me on Saturday. So this is my first attempt at a distance of this nature. We set off the first 7 kilometres. I'm not a fast swimmer by any chance. I'm a complete novice. I've got terrible technique. I literally just bully my way through pure strength and ignorance and hard-headedness and stubbornness. So we got to the first 7 kilometre mark, and I did it in a little over 2 hours, which for me, really good time, because I was so chuffed with myself. I thought, do you know what? I'm going to set myself a really good time here. Mm. And it was no competition. It was just about getting to the end and me completing it. The competition was with myself.
I was going to say, that competition of you versus you as well, because a lot of people think it's, oh, I'm not as good as so-and-so, I'm not as good as this, or so-and-so at that time. And it's knowing it's you versus you, isn't it?
Anything you should ever do, if you want to accomplish anything, whether it's for your personal satisfaction or if you're in competition, it shouldn't be about the other person. It always starts from within and with you. And my competition always starts with, I'm competing with me. Mm-hmm. If I don't perform to my best ability, that's my problem, no one else's.
And controlling the controllables as well.
In a competition and I may win because I perform well on that day, then I'll take that as an additional bonus.
You can't control how they're going to show up. You can't control the weather. You can't control the sea. You know, you can't control what the waves are like in Gibraltar. You can control you. Do you know what I mean? You turn up with the best version of yourself.
Exactly that.
And that's it, brother.
And that leads me into exactly what I was saying with them. So we get to the first 7K, 2 hours, fantastic. Really, really happy with myself. Good mood. I've had a little bit of cramp in my calf, but I was adapting to that. I was overcoming it. Just, you know, adapt and overcome. Firefighter's motto.
That's it, baby.
Happy days. Carrying on. And then we changed coast. So we just swum around the southern peninsula of Gibraltar, and we started to head north. The minute we got onto the east side of the country, head to head, north up the coastline, oh my God, did we hit the currents and the tides. I spent a good 45 minutes to move around 300 meters.
Oh man.
If you look at my Garmin maps of my route, you can see on the two occasions where I actually physically went backwards in the water due to the tides and the currents. And it was at that point there when I was thinking, what am I doing? This is horrendous. I am not moving.
How much planning and strategy went into that? Because, you know, I hear a lot of Ross Edgley in that when you look at his resilience book. Have you read Ross's Way Around the UK?
I have read his book. I read finishing it last week.
And he was saying, he was like, you know, don't pick your tides right, you go backwards. You know, there's no point in going. You've got to time it right. And then you need to, you know, go hard just to stay still sometimes.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It was purely, and it was actually off the back of, I had Ross Edgley and his book in the back of my mind while I was doing that swim.
Beautiful.
He managed to swim around the whole of Great Britain without putting foot on dry land. I mean, that is what a feat of human endeavour, endurance.
It makes me excited to wait till Matt's book comes out. You know, I can't wait to see what's in yours. I'll be getting your book.
And it was the same thing about being resilient, about never giving up.
Mm.
And there was one time, there were three of us who got stuck in the current and the tides, and it was everyone, don't get me wrong, all the people that swam that day, also had the tyres, but we found ourselves in a bad position. I didn't take my own advice and stick to the rocks. I went out wide and it bit me in the backside. There was at one point, I must have been at around the 8.5 kilometre mark, so only about 3.5 k's left, which in the grand scheme, after we've done 8, doesn't sound like much, but I came so close to going man down.
Really?
Everything just was fading away. My energy, my will to go on was just...
Your optimism was just like, I don't see how I'm making any progress.
I've got to get to the end. I have to get to the end. There's no way I can go back to the fire station, tell the lad I didn't make it round.
I was about to ask you about that social accountability, because I think that's huge. You know, whenever I set myself a challenge, it's not about, you're not doing it for somebody else, but we'll always do more for like our children or for our partners. I don't know what it is about us as human beings. We do a lot for other people because we get that sort of social acknowledgement. It's not always about what other people think, but how much do you think putting yourself out there and saying, look, I'm going to do this for this cause, and you know, you did it for charity, and you still need to send me those details, by the way. I messaged you again this morning. And go send me them details.
I'll definitely send you those details, buddy.
But you know, you're doing it for other people. How much of that, what was the big factor that pushed you to say, you know, I've got to keep going, I've got no choice, I've got to do this?
Well, you, when you take on a challenge like this, you get all these other people involved, you've done weeks and weeks of planning, and you know, people in the general public have supported this charity event. They've given us money to do something. It's like, well, I can't let you guys down. You have been kind enough to dip your hand into your pockets. You've supported me and my mad hat idea to get through this crazy swim around the rock. Mm. There's no way I can let you guys down. So it's just a matter of man up and get on with it. And it also that really ties in nicely with the attitude and the mindset of being a fireman.
Yeah.
Ultimately, as part of our duty, we put ourselves in positions where the average person won't. Now, obviously, we do our dramatic risk assessments and we balance the dangers and the risks.
Yeah.
But even saying that, we seem to push ourselves a little bit further than the average person. And it's just that willingness that we have inside as a firefighter just to be able to push that little bit more.
Yeah. And it's that mindset, again, like you said, about doing for other people. The only difference between you and the person that's stuck in that house fire is the attitude in which you enter it. You've got a skill set, you've got a purpose, and somebody is expecting you to deliver. They're having the worst day of their life, and they're expecting Matt, they're expecting John, James, Sally, whoever it is. That firefighter is there to make a difference. And you know, you voluntarily placed yourself in that position again, not only with Gibraltar, but with some of the other challenges you've taken on. So closing in on the end of the race, you'd overcome that sort of 8.5 k mark. What happened then?
Well, I'll tell you what, biggest thing is, once you finally push through, you know you're close, you've seen all your landmarks, you know you're near the end, and then this big sense of, I have to put it down to pride. Yeah. Pride that you've put all these people together. And what we did with the charity was, we didn't do it the elitist club. So we got some fantastic athletes in Gibraltar here. There's some good triathletes, good open water swimmers.
Oh, you've got some serious beasts out there, haven't you? I've seen some of the guys that were there, man.
Seriously talented people who we get to knock around and train with. But what we wanted to do was to open it up for the normal Joe blogs that might not even normally consider doing something like this. So we opened it up to people for all abilities. And the week building up to the event, we just had some preparation training swims where we told people to come along and say, okay, guys, now we're going to swim X far and build up slowly but surely. And people who would never have dreamed of taking part in something like this, where they just come along, jump in the water, let's have a few training swims, and then slowly but surely you see them going, do you know what? I think I've got this.
Yeah.
And one of the absolute highlights for me was I organised this event with two other lads, Wayne and Gary.
Shout out Wayne and Gary. Top lads.
Absolute weapon of a man. Absolute superb and good athlete. Credit runs through the roof. Man of the Savage, finisher, multiple Ironman, absolute a crack. And I have my friend Wayne, who 2 years ago had open heart surgery. He's in his 50s, and yet he's had some personal family difficulties over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And yet, despite all of that, he still finished. Now, took me, I think it was 5.5 hours, something like that, and I found it horrendous, like one of the worst things I've ever done.
Yeah.
He came in at least 45 minutes after me.
Wow.
That was respect right there,
because
he had to swim for that much longer after everything he'd been through, and I just had to say, do you know what? There's a man with a big heart, dedication, determination, and I just, it was.
And also the example he sets for other people. Because most people hear that. I mean, it's crazy. Some people say, oh, you know, yeah, I would do something like that, but I'm in my 40s, so I'm on my 50s. Do you know what I mean? You know, and this age analogy, when you've got people like that, and you'll see it in the Ironman circuits, you know, the body may give you clues that it's getting older, but it didn't say it's getting weaker. You just, you know, it's training smarter versus training harder. And to see somebody in their mid-50s like that becoming that real tactician and having that ironclad mindset to come alongside you, I mean, how much do you think that value of association comes in as well? Because you spoke about some of the people you train with and how, quote, lucky you feel you are to train with different people. What do you think that makes a difference? Because some people are in an environment that will be listening that, you know, they feel like they can't push themselves because they're not around people that are pushing themselves. You put yourself intentionally around these people that are performing just as well or not harder than you. You know, how much does that play a role?
Well, I think it's all about the mental strength you have, mental resilience.
Mm.
Being willing to push yourself, put yourself outside of your comfort zone. Now, that relates to your different standards, your different levels. So,
yeah.
If you're an experienced athlete, you're going to go and find that other guy who might be a bit better than you to go and train with him, try and get some tips and some tricks and some advice.
Yeah.
See what he's doing different to you, so maybe you can bring on board. But that also relates to the person who's never done a 10K run before. No, never done a 5K run. It doesn't matter what it is. It's all about looking at it and thinking, do you know what? That's achievable. Yeah. It's just taking those first few baby steps and having the courage to say, do you know what? Even if I fail, I'm going to try. Because I'll tell you what, 9 times out of 10, you will achieve what you set your mind to.
You'll find yourself within it. You know, a lot of us are only tapping into 40, 60% of what's truly there. And when you stack it as well, like you say, you've put yourself around people that are going to push you. You've given yourself that accountability with the charities and the people that you've helped and the people you've involved. You've sort of chopped the forest down because you've staged it. You've done a 1K, you've done a 5K, you've done an 8K. And through all of that, you've not just rocked up on the day and gone for it. You've gone about it clever. You've put the right people around you. And then you've also just leveraged that mindset for it.
Yeah, exactly that.
So how do you balance a lot of the family aspects of this? Because you've got kids, you know, I see on your social media, you're a very active family man, and people wrongly, again, attach sort of the athlete analogy to people that, oh, that guy just thinks about himself all the time. You bring your family along with you on a lot of your adventures.
Oh, absolutely. I'm very blessed to have a wonderful family, boys that love that, their firefighter dad. For example, I go to training sessions and we may be doing a sled pull or a push training session. And instead of throwing weights into it, I throw one of the kids in there and drag them along and make my training session a family orientated affair.
I always say to my clients, you know, try and make people part of the process. You know, you've got to do your stretching in the morning,
exactly.
5-10 minutes. Get down on the floor with your kids and do some stretching. Your kids would love to do that. They'll roll around on the
floor
with you, they'll wrestle with you.
I'd love to see my 3-year-old boy now who's buzzing around my uncle as we speak. You want to see him every morning saying, come on, daddy, yamaste. And we go cosmic yoga kids.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I've done a few of the ones. I think it was a Trolls one, the cosmic yoga thing.
Yeah,
it's awesome, isn't it?
You know it.
I see it, brother. I've been there, and Lily's like, no, daddy, you're doing it wrong. And that's it. You just got to open up. You know, people get defensive about stuff and they like trap themselves away and say, oh, leave mummy or daddy alone. I've got to do my exercises. Make them part of it. Because then they go on that journey with you and they can support you. And then your kids have been a massive support. I've seen them at the firefighter competitions and your partner as well, that you've made them part of your journey.
Well, I tell you, it's that old saying, isn't it? Monkey see, monkey do.
That's it, baby.
If you're an example to your children, if your children see you just naturally eating healthy, they just see you naturally going off to do your exercise, if they naturally see you, okay, we're going to go for a walk now, kids. We're going to go to the park now, kids. We're going to go for a hike now, kids.
Mm.
That will become their natural mindset. What you do is what your kids will naturally follow in your footsteps and do.
It's so true.
If I basically be the dad that I want to be by them and set good examples for them to follow, then I hope I'm doing that right. Bye.
And there's no book written on it as well. You know, there's no one's written the perfect book on parenting, but you're so right. They learn with their eyes, not just with their words. You know, the words matter and people give their children advice or, you know, they tell them what to do, but, you know, show them. Show them. You know, they see with their eyes. They see what you're doing. You know, people that stand at the school gates and they're like, do your best, try your hardest. I'm like, man, come on, you doing your best? The kid should turn around and say, in a respectful way, you know, good luck today, mommy. Good luck today, daddy. I know you're doing this. I know you're doing that. I'm proud of you. Because we want to be proud of them and they want to be proud of us.
Yeah, 100%.
It's the biggest example that people can live for their children is the life they lead themselves. So, I mean, how long have you been a firefighter, Matt? Because people will hear your experiences and they've seen the British firefighter competitions and all the ones you've done across the world. How long have you been operational as a firefighter?
Well, I'm reasonably a newbie, truth be told. I've been in around 6.5 years now, which is not that very long. I joined when I was 34. And it came around as I got to that point in my life where we in UK, you tend to live to work.
Mm.
Okay, so that's probably the best way I can say it. So going away, working all the hours God sends, only seeing your kids briefly in the evening, trying to fit your training around that. And it was just running the rat race, really.
Yeah.
And it came to the point where, do I want to be doing this for the rest of my life? Mm. And I literally had one of those eureka moments where I was like, do you know what? I don't want this the rest of my life. Yeah, earning good money is great, but there's more to life than that. It's happiness is where it has to revolve as. Quality time with the family. Mm. And it was like, I always went back to, what did you really want to be when you were a kid? What made you happy? And it was like, I wanted to be a fireman.
Mm.
And I'd always wanted to be a fireman. And I said, do you know what? I'm going to become a fireman. So I went out of my way to do everything in my power to become a fireman. So Gibraltar is a very small country, very small place, and you're basically filling dead man's shoes. So someone has to retire to get a job there. So it's really, really, really hard to get in. So again, talking about being prepared, doing what you can to help
yourself. Doing everything within your control.
No one gives you anything.
Yeah.
So you've got to do what's in your control. So I literally went out there and did everything I could think of to become a fireman. So I went out there, I did an HGV lorry driver's test just so I could drive the fire engine. I went off and I did rope rescue courses, all off my own back. So these are the things where people can make these choices for themselves.
Mm.
What have you done to help yourself? Because you can control the controllables. You can't control the uncontrollables. At least what you can do is put everything you can that's under your control into your favour.
That's so true. How often do you think people have fallen back on that victim mentality, especially during this lockdown? I know you've experienced it in a different way in Gibraltar, but you know, we echo back to your fitness. I mean, they must be thinking, oh, well, Matt, it's all well and good for you. You know, you're a fit and healthy guy, but surely you've struggled, you know, not having the gyms open and all this sort of stuff. But it comes back to that personal accountability. How have you adapted your training during that period? I say, obviously, you've got any swimming.
Yeah, exactly. So life throws these challenges at you no matter what they are. And for example, I had the back injury and then COVID came along. And what we did is my partner, I'm very fortunate, loves to train as well. So we just started doing home workouts. I put YouTube on and we'd find some workouts or I'd think up some crazy workout. And we'd do stuff in the living room. We'd do some press-ups or something, have the kids sitting on our back.
Yeah. Again, it's your resourcefulness, isn't it?
Stuff like that.
You might have had these resources taken. But if you've always looked at it and gone, well, fitness equals deadlifts and squats. Well, then if fitness equals deadlifts and squats for you, then you can't do it because you've made your window of opportunity so narrow. It's like saying, I want to join the fire service, but I only want to join it before I'm 20 years of age and I need to do it in this place in the world. And you're like, well, you've narrowed your window too far. You know, fitness could be swimming, it could be running, it could be yoga, it could be Pilates, it could be climbing, it could be anything. Do you know what I mean? But if you narrow your window so small, you let the world take those opportunities away from you. I suppose one of your biggest aspects, and you spoke about it in the fire service, is being that problem solver, improvising, adapting, you know, finding a way to be resourceful and get the solution.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And on top of that, I tend to find that I talk to that, ask me the questions, how can I lose weight or how can I get better at this? Find something that you like.
Yeah.
Do something that makes you happy. Because when you're happy, everything's easy.
Mm.
If you're doing something because you're forcing yourself to, you're never going to enjoy it and you're never going to stick to it. So find something that you like.
Mm. I mean, a lot of people say, you know, I don't really like fitness, Matt, because the gym's boring. And a lot of people, yeah, that's fine. I don't like the gym either. That's why I do this. That's why I do that. Don't narrow your window.
Yeah, exactly. Don't narrow your window. There's so many different things out there. And some people want to put fitness into a box, like they have to go to a gym and they have to train three times a week and they have to do these certain amount of sets and certain. It doesn't work like that. Fitness is a journey. It's something that everyone should start and no one should finish.
So, Matt, for people that have listened to the 12K swim and obviously the huge hurdles you've overcome, bringing all the community together for it, what's the best way for them to sort of reach out and donate?
Well, they can reach out to me directly. Find me, Matt Coulthard, on my Facebook page. Send me a private message and we can get things squared away. And remember, some people like always get a little bit embarrassed and think, oh, I don't know how much to donate. Every little helps. If every single person that I knew gave me a pound, we would raise so much money for charity. So don't be shy. Dig deep, and your kind, generous donations are more than appreciated and welcome. Thank you.
Beautiful, Blur. And sort of what's next?
Well, that's a brilliant question. There's always something up the sleeve to do. There's no less resting on your laurels. So I have a couple of outrageous ideas. I don't know if they're actually about to pull them off, but I'm certainly going to look into it. I'm certainly going to try. Because as we were saying, never limit yourself on what you can do. Get out there and see if we can put some things together.
Absolutely love it, brother. Thank you so much for coming on the Firefighters Podcast today, mate. And send love to the family, and I'll speak to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks for checking out the Firefighters Podcast this week. Make sure you check out the YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages, keeping yourself up to date with the latest podcast as it comes out. We'll see you guys soon.